Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour on this December the 16th on the West Coast, now December the 17th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome those of you listening in around the world, and I do mean around the world, on Wind Talkers Radio Network. And those listening in on bbsradio.com as well. We know the audience is growing every day. Lots of interesting people are listening to the show now, and we're going to get into some really good topics tonight. We have with us tonight my good friend, former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. We're going to bring him on a little bit, after we have a chance to allow drummer, music composer, and arranger Harvey Mason to talk to us about noble places of the heart. Yeah, that's drummer Harvey Mason. He's worked with many, many famous musicians around the world. One of the more notorious in recent times is guitarist George Benson. Many of you are familiar with him. Harvey is a studio drummer extraordinaire, but quite an accomplished composer, as you can hear. And I thought that that song, Noble Places of the Heart, would be a good opening for tonight's show, because tonight's guest is very passionate about what he brings to the table. Being a former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977, host of his own talk show heard on this very Wind Talkers network that's listening to the show right now, and blogtalkradio.com. He hosts his own website, amd.elequity, and puts out a daily news and views free of charge just to get you the truth. And we're going to, again, visit the truth with passion and from the heart. My guest tonight, Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don, and to all my Marines around the world, Semper Fi. It's one more day. This is the first day of the rest of your life.
That's right. Drew, you blew my mind earlier this evening. I was listening.
50-mile-an-hour wind?
You played a clip that I had picked out to play on tonight's show, and I dropped a cup of coffee. spilled it on the floor. It just blew my mind that you played that Chaplin clip.
Oh, yeah, from 1940, October.
Mm-hmm. And
outstanding clip, was it not?
Yeah, I intended to play it. And
I want you to play. You should play it, because not everybody listens to my show, listens to your show. I just happened to bring on one or two guys in the Informational Freedom Network out there that care, and maybe a couple of stations with Wind Talkers.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are we talking about?
I just got a blow away from Matthew. He says a couple of stages. Never mind what he said.
Yeah, you've got hundreds of stations listening. People need to know that we may be on the internet, but we are heard around the world, and we are even heard on other planets. Boy, I got some things to share with you tonight in that regard too, and the listening audience, but. There was a speech that was featured in The Great Dictator, a Chaplin movie that was made back in October of 1940. And symbolically, there is a very interesting patch or insignia on their hats and armbands that they're wearing, two circles with X's, and that actually has its own metaphysical meaning. But it was to mirror the life of a dictator and the outcome of his works and what does a dictator do more than anything? Oppresses the people, creates wars, impoverishes many. Many, many lives are lost, as you know, as is always the case in war. That's what it's about, inflicting pain and suffering upon usually innocent people for the pursuit of wealth and riches. And we never really hear the true story, but this was a remarkable movie to come out in 1940, just months prior to the United States entering the war because of Pearl Harbor. So I thought I would play this clip. And we'll sit back and listen to it. And I know you're going to have a lot to say about it. So here we go.
The dictator of Tomania, the conqueror of Austerlitz, the future emperor of the world. You speak.
I'm sorry. But I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful. But we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world, millions of despairing men, women, and little children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate, only the unloved hate, the unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery. Fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke, it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, a decent world, that will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power. But they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason. A world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite! Can you hear me? Wherever you are, look up, Hannah. The clouds are lifting. The sun is breaking through. We are coming out of the darkness into the light. We are coming into a new world, a kindlier world, where men will rise above their hate, their greed, and brutality. Look up, Hannah. The soul of man has been given wings. And at last he is beginning to fly. He is flying into the rainbow, into the light of hope, into the future, the glorious future that belongs to you, to me, and to all of us. Look up, Hannah. Look up. Thank you. Anna. Did you hear that?
Listen.
You know, Drew, considering that most people know Charlie Chaplin as a silent movie actor, that's quite a remarkable role he played in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
And that message is profound.
Charlie Chaplin, Chaplin was one of the great, really great actors of the era and could hold his own with all these young pippersweeps out here today, bar none. It's amazing that he could make people laugh and give profound thought in such a drama as what this was. And he felt that it was so important to get this film out there that he put a lot of his own money in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we owe Charlie a lot because he was telling America, if we don't stand and fight the little paper hanger of Germany, we would have our own little paper hanger here in the United States of America, but we do have our own little paper hangers today leading this country because we do not have moral men in leadership. We have men who have nothing but greed in their hearts, platitudes for each other, and nothing for the bravery and the fighting spirit of the average American who cares about this country.
Mm-hmm.
We take a classic example of Barack Hussein Obama. Has anybody got a picture of him placing his hand over his heart when the national anthem is played?
Does anybody have a real picture of him at all?
You know, you look at him giving out the Medal of Honor several weeks ago to the recipient, the staff sergeant. His name fails me at this moment, but I can remember the one thing about the reception. There was three Medal of Honor, living Medal of Honor recipients from World War II in the audience, one of which was in a wheelchair with United States Marine written all over him from a piss cover to the Purple Heart shirt or jacket that he wore. And, of course, around his neck was the Medal of Honor. And Obama did a little speech. Then, after awarding the recipient, Staff Sergeant Gutta, the medal, thank you, Matthew, the medal, shook his hand, then turned his back away from the staff sergeant and started shaking hands of senators, Democrat senators, and the congresswoman, the Nazi. And what appalled me, Don, what appalled me was when the camera swung to the audience. I expected to see the family of Staff Sergeant Gunta in the first row. And who did I see? More congressmen, more senators in the first row, more congressmen, more politicians in the second row, and generals of the military in the first and second row mixed in. On the third row were the family members of Staff Sergeant Salvatore Gunta. And the families of two of the men that he saved. Now, I have a problem with this nation. Why are we, the people, not in uproar at the disrespect that our own president, he's no more a president of the United States than a snail is walking across my front yard. And to anybody out there that has anything that wants to scream at me, well, you're just a racist. I got news for you. In the United States Marine Corps, we don't have color. We're green. And it was pointed out to me by three, no less than three Marines, one from Vietnam and two from Gulf War, served in Afghanistan, and all three said, Raines, do you see the disrespect in this? Raines, this man does not care about us. He's throwing us out to fodder. All three of these Marines were black. They wouldn't vote for Barack Hussein Obama if he was the only man on the ticket. They would have a write-in. And who would they write in? They would write in Charlie Chaplin. Charlie Chaplin before they would write anybody else. That's their attitude. We have a Lieutenant Colonel West out there, United States Army, who was an officer in charge of the 173rd. People talk about the Marine Corps being brave. The Marine Corps stands and salutes every member of the 173rd. They're our fellow brothers. And this little clip that you just got through playing outlines everything America should be standing for, and everything that we were warned would happen is happening now.
Mm-hmm. Don't you find that interesting that this movie came out before we entered World War II?
Approximately a whole year and 2 months.
Yeah.
And it took 2 years and 3 months to put it on celluloid and take it through the director's chair. And those of you that understand who the director's chair is, that's where they take the scissors and start snipping at it. Yeah, that amazes me. And I wonder why it took so long after it went through the final cut. It took over 6 months for it to get into the theaters when major war was going on and the rumors of war were going on around the world. And they were already fighting in Europe. The Poles, the French, the Norwegians, the Swedes, they were all fighting, and the Russians, they were all fighting, even though Russia was originally on Hitler's side. Most people don't even know that. They think that Russia was one of the Allied commanders. In 1938, Russia and Hitler signed an agreement to be Stalin.
Oh yeah, they were using Belarus as a repository of all the stolen loot, books, artwork. When I say loot, whether it's paper money or gold or silver, jewelry, whatever they took from the people that were persecuted. Many Russians, millions of Russians. You never hear that talked about, do you, Drew?
You never hear about the 24 million Russians that were killed by their own government. The government that was led by Stalin.
Mm-hmm.
People wonder, well, you know, they were our allies. No, they were there for greed and greed only. They turned against Hitler, not because of what they felt that Hitler was doing. It was because Hitler had already turned against them. He wanted to go ahead and conquer Russia. And he felt, well, those pipsqueaks over on the island, meaning the British, were just a little thorn, and the Luftwaffe could take care of them. and he turned his army of panzers on the Russians. Hitler's biggest problem was he was trying to fight a war on four fronts, fighting into northwestern or northeastern Europe, in the Ukraine, into Russia from the south, into Russia from the north, fighting in North Africa,
mm-hmm.
because he needed the oil from North Africa. Most people don't understand there is hardly any oil being brought up from below the surface in Europe at all. Russia is the only country in Europe that has any oil whatsoever. So when you think about this, ladies and gentlemen, think about what's happening to America right now, because right now everything that Hitler was doing to Europe in 1940 when this clip came out is going on and has been going on here in the United States, mandating things like mandated health. People had to pay for their own doctors and health concerns. And Hitler was turning it into a socialist government state where a doctor, regardless of what his professionalism was and how much education he had and how many years he had and what his experience was, would be the same pay as a doctor right out of internship from the University of Munich Medical School. Why become a doctor if you're going to make the same thing 40 years from now as you are when you walk out of school? Don't make sense. Not at all. And we have men and women in the United States of America dying right now on no less than three war fronts. And the United States government is doing everything they can to put us in a fourth one. And you say, well, where are they fighting? They're not fighting in Korea. Well, we're not fighting in Korea, ladies and gentlemen. But we got a lot of men and women in Korea standing guard that we could go into war tomorrow afternoon, and you won't even know about it because you're in the bed sleeping with your ex fiance's sister, or you're sleeping with your next door neighbor's wife. Because this whole nation has become nothing more than a Sodom and Gomorrah. And this isn't to embarrass the listeners of our BBS radio. This is a general fact. Our nation has become immoral, greedy, self-serving. And what is it to take a little of their funds, of an individual's funds, and help other people? I have no income, ladies and gentlemen. Zilch, none. You. And you make donations to me. That's what's paid my bills for the last 4.5 years. And Marines, you people out there, you think Marines are making good money. They're making good money only in the volume of what you see there made versus what we made 40 years ago. But 40 years ago, I could buy a 24 can carton of Cokes for $2.50. I could buy lunch at a all-you-can-eat restaurant for $3.50. That included tea, iced tea, and a tip, 75 cents, and tax. I could eat breakfast at a diner for $1.50. I could have coffee for $0.25. I could have a Coke and Crown at just about any bar in town for $1.25. I could go to the washateria and use the washateria and wash my clothes for 50 cents and dry them for $0.25. Gasoline costs 40 cents. 40 cents a gallon. And we thought it was high, and it had gotten up to 48 cents. And the nation itself where major people came out in uproar when gasoline hit 48 cents a gallon, and it fell back to 40.9. That's really about 41 cents. I bought my car for $1,600, brand new, and a full set of tires, brand new, when that first set wore out, for $100. For four brand new steel radio Michelins to replace those cheap tires that came on the car that I paid $1,695, including tax, including insurance prepaid for 3 months, including registration to the state of Louisiana, including freight shipment from the United Kingdom to New York. It was a 1971 MG midget convertible. It got 39.3 miles per gallon with dual carburetors. I drove that car from New York to Cherry Point, North Carolina, to New Orleans, back to Cherry Point, back up and around the East Coast for a year before I went back to Vietnam for the second tour. I put in 1 year over 70,000 miles on that little four-engine car, and I was making that on an income of less than $300 a month. Today, the same corporal and sergeants of today's era in the United States Marine Corps are making almost 10 times that, and they are having a tough time to survive. Talk about greed. Yeah, we have a problem in America. It's called Sodom and Gomorrah. America is a classic example. We're not standing up for our biblical letter, the letter that told us what to do and how to live honestly and morally and to do unto others. We have forgotten how to care about people, Don. We've forgotten that if somebody's down and out, to help them. We're not asking for handouts. There's not a Marine out there that served in Vietnam that's asking for a handout. That's why you don't see them. They kind of hide in the public right in front of you because they believe in clean. They may not have any money, but they find a way to wash their clothes. They find a way to look decent. Maybe they haven't had a clean set of clothes on their back for 5 months, but at a distance you can't tell. They always find the homeless shelter to take a bath, and they'll take their maybe three pairs of underclothes in the bath, in the shower, and wash their clothes with bar soap that's offered to them. And they'll hang them on the end of the rack that they sleep on that night to dry out. And the next morning, they bundle their stuff up, put it all on, and walk out the door. And they'll look around at restaurants that, many of you don't think anything about. They'll walk up early in the morning when a restaurant's just opening their doors and ask the owner, If your dishwasher doesn't show up, I wash dishes for a meal. You don't see these guys because they're hidden in plain sight. They go into the Dollar Tree stores because everything in a Dollar Tree is a dollar. And they go in with maybe $8 and they know they can get a maximum of 8 items. So they pick and choose very meticulously what they buy. Maybe it's a can of chili. Maybe it's a can of beans. But you don't see them buying other things that are needed. And this is not just for the Vietnam veterans. This is for the Gulf War I veterans and the Afghan veterans, as well as the Iraqi veterans. This is why when I witnessed a Iraqi veteran, female, captain, sitting out underneath a pine tree 200 feet from a dollar store, there's this woman, not in a dress, but she's in DUDs or BDUs, and she's eating a can of peaches. And she's got two more sitting next to her. She looks pretty clean. Her hair is not mussed up. She's 30, 33, 35, somewhere around there, appearance. And I walk up to her, and I find out within a few minutes who she is and the fact that she's 28. She looks a whole lot more than 28. I find out real fast because of an emblem she's got that she is a helicopter pilot for the United States Army serving in Iraq. But because of personal attack by two of her own men, her own fellow Army officers, attack meaning rape, she left the Army Corps. And because of PTSD, she couldn't hold a job. She divorced herself from her mother and father. She's never married. 6 years on the road. I took her over to a restaurant, a sandwich shop, because she didn't want to go to a restaurant and sit down. She just wanted to get, she really didn't even want to go into the Subway shop. Then I bought her one of those nice big sandwiches, and she asked the guy to cut it in thirds. She ate a third of it with me and had a large Coke. And the best I could do for her that she would take from me was a business card with the place for a shelter for battered women. 2 days later, I found out she did check in, and she stayed there for two nights. But on the morning that I called, she had gotten up, made her bed, cleaned the room that she was in, and was gone. That was 3 weeks ago. I've had four other Marines go out and look and drive around Little Rock and North Little Rock looking for this lady. It's obviously she doesn't want to be found, and she's gone. She's picked up a ride somehow, some way, hitchhiking across America, not wanting to settle down, not wanting to make to be anywhere where friendship was because of the nightmares and the trauma. How many of you out there have an empty bedroom that you could help somebody, but you're too scared that they might get up and slice your throat? Oh, you're too scared to assist somebody, to pay for a hotel room. 40 years ago, a hotel chain hit the market, and their biggest pride was $19 a night. Television, local telephone service, free ice. For $19.95, 40 years ago, they said they leave their light on for you. Now you're hard-pressed to find a hotel for under $50 or even $60. In most cities, it's hard to find a hotel under $75. And all this BS about, well, you can get on the internet and offer this much. Yeah, if you've got a credit card. If you're part of the graveling into the system, you can pay your taxes online if you give up your Social Security number, name, address, phone number, and what size toilet paper you use. And you wonder why the nation of America is being ripped off. You hear stories about people losing their ID. But you don't care about the military men that are put their lives on the line or the disrespect they're given by United States senators and congressmen and the president of the United States when the recipient of the Medal of Honor is basically shunned. All you need to do is look at some of the footage of the recipients of the Medal of Honor given by John Fitzgerald Kennedy. His wife, Jacqueline, was present. He invited them back into the White House to dinner. Not just the recipient, but the recipient's family. Not just the recipient's family, but the men that were involved in the recipients receiving the medal. Where has respect, honor, gone in this nation? I read a book two nights ago. It was put out by a Polish pastor. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's a man from Poland that cares about his native land. And he's been kicked out to live in the United States of America, and he's given a vision. And he is in the visions that he is given. He sees California burning. He's told that it's going to burn. He's given a vision of Las Vegas, Nevada, and told it's going to burn. Of New York State, of the state of Florida. All are going to burn because they are Sodom and Gomorrah. He is told by the angel all of this. In one day, it will burn. The book hit the shelf in 1992. The name of the book, Through the Fire Without Burning, by Dumitru Dudeman. The true story of a Romanian pastor fighting communism and persecution in the last days of the Russian Polish Communist Party. And what he saw is coming to fact right now, Don. In the clip that you played that was so apropos by Charlie Chaplin in 1940 is a testament to Charlie Chaplin's foresight and love of this nation, because Charlie Chaplin was not born in the United States.
No,
the United States was his home.
He finished his later years in Switzerland. He had saved his money and had quite a fortune from his long career in movies, and he had a very nice place that he built for himself there in Switzerland.
And his family.
And I can't blame him. I spent some time there. It's a beautiful country.
And taxes in Switzerland weren't anywhere close to being what they are here. Well, at that time, there were no taxes in Switzerland.
Yeah.
But the taxes here in America were pretty extravagant at that time for those that had money. Today, in respect, the rich don't pay squat compared to what the poor pay.
Well, the soldier you were talking about, Drew, this female soldier, was...
Yeah, Sergeant Salvador Junta.
No, I mean the one that you saw and took to
the
get...
The captain. The United States Air Army captain, helicopter pilot.
A captain, okay. It didn't matter if she was a private or a general. You see,
it didn't matter if she was a private or a sergeant or an officer. It was the fact that she was on Army personnel and she was on the road and she wasn't getting any help.
Yeah, just the whole thing. I mean, it should disgust anyone in the military that's hearing this. But they know, they're familiar with this. They've seen
those of, you're right. They are familiar. And those of us that are in the military, we can literally, those of us that have gone through the hellfire, we can see our fellow brothers. They don't have to have a uniform on. We can see them through their actions. We know who's got PTSD just by talking to them because they can't look you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And those that can look you in the face, there's something going on with them. Their legs are trembling. And if they're not trembling, they'll have their foot down and they'll be popping their heel on the ground up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly.
Well,
and if their hands are free, they're constantly moving their fingers.
Yeah, the fact that they allow these soldiers to go fend for themselves, and they're giving thousands and thousands of dollars to people illegally entering the country. You tell me if we're not witnessing pure insanity.
$873 billion was brought forth to create jobs for this nation in the Bush administration the last 6 months. During the Obama administration, in the first 6 months, there was another $400 billion allocated for other projects. And yet not how many jobs were created? Not one. We have a problem, America. It is called greed at the top. 250 years ago, we fought against the aristocrats and the atrocities of people like Lord North. How many of you even know who Lord North was? You remember King James and his atrocities? Lord North was the one behind the scene that really controlled what was going on. Not the king, Lord North. In the United States of America, the president of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama, is getting 90% of the blame when Nazi Pelosi is the one behind the stick, along with her cohort, Harry Reid. And you think that this nation is in good hands when you have a fraudulent man elected to the Senate from Nevada and a fraudulent woman elected from California by queers, lesbians, Namblas, perverts? You think you have leadership? As a personal friend of mine tells me every day when he sends me videos and audio clips and news articles to assist me in my news and views, why aren't the American people grabbing their boomers? It's boomer time! And I ask him, and I say to him, because the majority of Americans are really moral men and women and care. And they don't know what's going on until it's thrown right in their face. I don't ask for anything from anybody. If somebody wants to donate to keep my bills paid so I can do a radio show, fine. If they don't, great. I go off the air. What's the worst that can happen to me? You're going to send me back to Vietnam? Because I don't believe in these atrocities, communist, socialist agenda that's being stuffed down my throat? My own family, my own sisters. I have 7 sisters. I get maybe 1 or 2 Christmas cards, and they know how I feel about Christmas. But I get 2 maximum Christmas cards a year. I get maybe maximum 3 birthday cards a year. in the course of a year, I might get one letter. I have a big family. But my sisters aren't really part of it. I've got first cousins that call me on the phone weekly. But I don't have a personal family. Because they don't believe in what I see. They shun, well, there's nothing wrong with your first cousin who's a queer. And I won't let the man anywhere close to my home or in the same room with me. And he has been given advice. Granted, he may be 6'5", but I can make mincemeat out of him in about 2 seconds. He may be 6'5", at 248 pounds or 260 pounds. He's real skinny for a man at 6'5". But he's a wimp. He's immoral. And I won't have anything to do with him. And because of that, I have family members that won't talk to me.
Yeah, and you know, Drew, this is being promoted. This is being promoted through the government. And they say, well, you know, this is equality. I don't see the equality between a man and a woman getting married and having children and a man getting together and they can't have children. How is that equal? You know?
When you said that, it kind of grosses me off, but you're right. My personal attitude is take all the queers, take all the lesbians, put them out in California. Let them all live in California. Take them out of all 49 states and put them in California. We only have to wait about 80 years, and then there'll be free land in California. Guarantee it. Maybe 100 years. But there ain't going to be anybody left. There won't be any offspring. You put all the queers and homosexuals on one island, come back 100 years later, and the only thing that's going to be there is a lot of worms. Guarantee it.
You know, Drew, what you're talking about, what you're describing is so different from what exists in other parts of the universe. And I'm by no means implying that there isn't violence anywhere in the universe, because the same beings that are creating havoc down here are doing it on other planets.
Exactly.
You know, we hear about Venus. They say, oh, it's not inhabitable. And let me tell
it's
you,
blue.
It is. There are people on Venus.
It's blue. It's got water.
They're living, most of them are living underground on Venus, but it's a very advanced, very knowledgeable, very spiritually awake group of people that are living there. And they're attacked. They're being attacked by some of the same groups that are coming around here.
I get the same story about Mars. I get the same story about the moon not having any possible way of survival, and yet the scientific community has found beyond a shadow of a doubt water on the moon, water on Mars, water on Venus, water on the sixth moon of Saturn, massive amount of water on the sixth moon of Saturn, lakes as large as the continent of North America, a lake as large as the continent of North America on the sixth moon, a planet that's three times the size of the planet Earth. But we're supposed to believe that there's nobody out there in the universe, that everything is here. It was all orchestrated here. What was it, 300 years ago? Was it three? Was it that short a time? Well, no, it was 500 years ago. Just a short 500 years ago, men and women of Europe thought if you got in a boat that you would sail off to the edge of the world and fall. No common sense, though. Where are you going to fall to? And yet the Phoenicians, the Vikings, even the Chinese had been to North America. Hundreds, if not thousands, of years before. There is evidence the Phoenicians mined copper in the what we call the state of Michigan today.
Oh, yeah, Drew, you know that the clip that I played on your show on Monday about the reality of these craft that the space shuttle had filmed and the pathetic explanation that they gave us that it was ice crystals.
Yes, I remember.
And the denial by astronaut Buzz Aldrin that those were craft. And, you know, the Federation listened to that show and just cracked up.
Yeah, I crack up every time I hear that. It's one of those things, you know, it's one of those things out there that I see that when people tell us that, well, there's nothing wrong with GMO food. And there's nothing wrong with, and I think, you know, how stupid are people? Are they the bigger the lie, the easier it is to prove that it's it's easy, the easier it is to get people to be gullible to accept it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, people have been reporting triangular craft, seeing craft around the Earth recently. And I got to tell you, these craft don't belong to our government. They are not from this planet. But this is another group that's come into this area of the galaxy to sort of check things out, see if there isn't some minerals that they can get for themselves. Is that any different from the reptilians being here and turning this planet into a gold mining society? There's no difference. Or that they're on Venus in great numbers and causing some problems. You see, these are like the pirates that they talk about when they put these YouTube videos online showing people boarding ships. It's a good one. The Russians got a pirate ship and questioned the people. They said they were a fishing boat. They found guns. They found all kinds of weapons, all kinds of ammunition. Guns, rockets, all kinds of stuff. And they...
Plans. They also, don't forget the plans.
Yes, yes. And they blew the ship up, which the captain has the right to do. Don't waste the money on a trial. Don't drag it out. Now, I'm not promoting that. I don't like to see death at all anywhere. It doesn't have to occur. But these people are funded by someone. Where do they get these guns in Somalia? How are they? Who provides that? Who gives them the money to do these things? You know, it's problem. Remember, it's always problem, reaction, solution. And it's in this matrix, this idiotic turnaround in a circle backwards matrix. That's like a corkscrew digging itself into the ground until it finally breaks the surface of hell. But they're trying to bring it up here.
You know? Well, and what really kind of throws me off in a tangent is the fact that, you know, with all the gold that's ever been mined on this planet, if you took every single gram of gold that's ever been mined, you could put it in the football stadium at New Orleans, and it would be six feet high, and in the center of the field with 10 feet around the sidelines, all the way around. On the playing field, in the playing zone, with 10 feet all the way around as being free to run around and stay in the end zone, and 6 feet high. That's all the gold that's ever been mined by man. And we haven't touched the gold that's in salt water, seabeds.
Yeah, and when you consider that, and that these wars are created to have that gold, to get their hands on it, it's a bit insane, isn't it? It's a bit trivial.
Oh, yeah. Here's one for the newspapers. We have silver mines across America that have been boarded up, closed down, because it costs more to mine the silver than what silver was worth. And yet now silver is like $29 an ounce, and there are over 300 silver mines in America begging for someone to come and harvest the silver right here in Little Rock and North Little Rock, Arkansas. There are two silver mines. One is located under the football and baseball field in Little Rock and underneath the interstate that dissects the city.
Now, is that also 6 feet high and within?
No.
There's another football field under there. They just built on top.
I don't know the amount of silver, but I do know that the silver mine in Carson City, Nevada, mined more silver in the 1850s than was in the availability of the Carson City, the United States government mint.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they mined more silver in the 1850s before the Civil War than the United States government had in the Denver mint.
Mm-hmm.
Available to the Denver mint from 1950 to 1990.
Well, they are mining silver, Drew. It's just that they're doing it above ground. Like in the stadium, they're doing it in the stands and in the malls and in the stores and, you know.
Well, here's one for you. This will blow you away. I was looking at some pictures yesterday, and it was the United States Corps of Engineers put a dam up to block the water from going over the Niagara Falls on the United States side. And in one of the pictures, there's a woman out there with two kids. And I found out by doing a little digging that she was picking up silver coins that people had thrown off the wedding bridge that she was walking under. And she had picked up a couple of $100 in half dollars, silver half dollars, and dimes in quarters. And this was in 1969. So we're talking about a lot of money that had been, you know, thrown off the bridge. She was arrested, but the courts dismissed the charges. I'm looking at the point they better have dismissed the charges, because there was no law for her walking across the area, okay, even though the Corps of Engineers had put a safety fence up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the safety fence was only up to keep people from getting too close to the edge and slipping off the really slippery rocks. There was no there was no signs up telling anyone that she could not walk out there. Now, I think it was a little stupid in one respect, but I look at the fact that there's all this silver out there that people throw in. It's like, remember the movie Three Coins in the Fountain?
Mm-hmm.
And people would throw money in and throw it for wishes? And I want to tell you, there's a lot of money in that fountain. So I can imagine where if anybody stops and thinks about where nature is, and people go and throw a coin off and make a little wish, there's got to be a ton of money somewhere. So there's in the Niagara Falls area. Can you imagine picking up and finding a 1933 P for Philadelphia quarter? That quarter is worth $20,000.
Yeah, or
19. I'm sure somebody probably threw one off there.
1922 S. You know.
Oh yeah. How about the 1943 penny made out of solid copper? There was only 20 of them made. Or how about the 1890 $50 gold piece that only five were minted? Two were sent to the President of the United States for review and sent back to the mint, and they disappeared. Now, that was in 1890, 2 ounces. That was a $50 gold piece, ladies and gentlemen. It was 2 ounces of gold.
Was Ben Bernanke around back then?
He probably was. If it wasn't him, it was that other jerk.
Paulson. Well,
the two.
Yeah. Well, I brought up this issue of, the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon, because these people are following God. They worship God. They worship his son, Jesus Christ. And they've come together to serve the big plan of the creation. And, man, there's so much disinformation out there now. There is so much violence. There is so much insanity and chaos going on. And we're trying to get people just to really pay attention, not because Christmas is coming up. You should be thinking along these lines all the time. Open up your hearts for a change and take some responsibility for what occurs around you. And you don't have to do the things that Drew and I do and some of the other guests that we have on the show. They're dealing with people around the world. Start where you are. Start in with yourself in your own home and then your neighbors. Connect with some people and open your heart to the possibilities that this insanity can stop. And I can assure you, if you do nothing, it will not stop. Drew, I'm sure you would agree.
I agree 100%.
I'm gonna play another song here, Drew, just to mellow things out a bit. And I'm hoping people will listen to the words to this song. I've played this a couple of times over the past couple of years, but I think the message is appropriate tonight. You were Please. Talking about your family, okay? And I know there are a lot of people out there in the same situation.
When I look in my father's eyes.
Of course, that's Eric Clapton and My Father's Eyes. You know, that's a deep song, Drew.
Yes.
Who is he talking about?
That sounds like he's talking about me. I'm
certainly
just glad my father's not around to see and feel, because even now I understand what he was going through with the family because of a World War II vet. The tragedy of him losing his left leg in that war. And through my due diligence, I wanted to see, you know, exactly where my family came from. And the Raines family dates all the way back to fighting with the invasion of France by the Ukrainian Tartars in 821, crossing the channel in 1066, conquering England as warriors from France, setting up shop in Wales and Scotland and in northern England and in Ireland, coming to the United States, marrying American Indian women because women were scarce, and helping in the assistance. And one particular great grandfather was a bodyguard with George Washington. I was contacted by a person that documented that through some other information, and I found that that it wasn't just my father's family that goes through history. I found my mother's family goes through history, and on my mother's side, Major General Smedley Darlington Butler resides. As a Marine, once I discovered that Major General Smedley Darlington Butler was a great-great uncle, my pride in being a Marine escalated, because here was a man that was honorable, moral, cared about his men, cared about people, and felt that everybody put their pants on the same way.
Yeah.
Women dressed the same way.
His message wasn't just to the military either. It was to everybody.
It was to everyone. He was the military officer in 1928 enforcing the drinking laws in Philadelphia, hired by Philadelphia, taking leave from the United States Marine Corps for 18 months. But when he started raiding the rich on the north side of Philadelphia, where the rich had their speakeasies, he started making enemies in the city of Philadelphia, fought hard to get rid of him. It took him 8 months. And he was trying to obey the law of the land, keeping alcohol, supporting the prohibition. And when Roosevelt lifted the laws on alcohol, Major General Butler went to Henderson Hall and bought the Marines at Henderson Hall, headquarters, United States Marine Corps, all of the enlisted personnel, 3 rounds of drinks. He honestly did not like enforcing the law, but he felt that if you're going to make a law, enforce it for everybody. Here today, we have laws on the books, but if you're of the aristocratic class, example, well, we can't really, we shouldn't arrest this man because he's a member of the stock trade, and if he gets a felony, his career is ruined. This was a hit-and-run driver in Denver, Colorado, who committed a major felony, a hit-and-run. And yet, he's only slapped in the hand?
Well, you had Ted Kennedy in Chappaquiddick, too. Remember that?
This one's just the latest. Ted Kennedy is probably the most atrocious. And I can imagine, if his brother, the former president, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, were alive, he would have probably led the parade to keep Ted Kennedy in jail and have him arrested. Or he would have hidden him outside the United States. I don't know the position of Jack Kennedy, of what he would have done, but I hope and pray that both John Fitzgerald Kennedy and Robert Kennedy would have stood up and done the right thing and says, okay, Ted, you're going to jail for manslaughter. I pray that that's what those two men would have done, because those two men refused to be members of the Illuminati. They refused to follow their father's footsteps and join the Masons. And they both knew what the problems were in America. And they both were assassinated.
Oh, they knew what the problems were elsewhere, too, outside of America.
But their only real hope was here. Mm-hmm. They felt that they could save America, they could then move out to the rest of the world. But they, sadly, neither one of them got the chance.
Yeah. Well, Drew, we got to say goodnight to our listening audience. But
can I mention one thing here, please?
Oh, okay. If you can do it inside of a minute, yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
To those of you in Haskell County, Oklahoma, I'm with you. To the Wind Talker broadcaster over there, Charles Francis, appreciate your information about the UFO sighting there in Haskell County, and you're right. You're listening to the right show. This is the place. God bless you, and be well. And to all my Marines around the world, don't even think about sending me a PayPal donation, because PayPal is supporting the queers and the NAMBLAs, so I've stopped it. So don't do it. If you want to live with PayPal, do not. I've closed the account. So that's why you're not getting through. And to the rest of all of you around the world, be safe, be well. This is the first day of the rest of your life. And to all my Marines, Semper Fi.
Thank you, Drew. I want to let the listening audience know that you're going to be on the show again next week on the 23rd, 24th crossover. For those of you in other parts of the world. So
you and I are the only ones that like to work.
it's about the message, Drew. And it's important. What are people going to be doing right before Christmas? Hopefully they're not going to be watching TV. They're going to be looking for some truth, and we'll give it to them. So I appreciate
it. Amen.
I appreciate your work, folks. You got to listen to his show. Go to blogtalkradio.com on the internet. If you are part of the Wind Talkers network, you get that on the radio, depending on where you are in the world. And you can also pick up the show on a phone bridge as well. And
we're working on a webpage, Don.
Yeah. You go to Drew's website, amd.elequity.com. And sign up for his news and views.
Windtalkers is working on a web page.
Oh, that's great.
With all the list of all the stations around the world and the languages.
Well,
Bobby and Larissa are doing that on the side.
When you get that list, you let me know. I'll put that up on my
site. Your picture's already been posted on the left side.
but I'm saying when you have the list, let me know. And I'll post it on my site as well.
I'm not supposed to tell everybody, but I was able to see a preview. And there's a picture of you from BBF Radio. There's a picture of me and my schnauzer on the right-hand side. There's a picture of DB Kid right underneath you on your side. And there's a picture of Elizabeth. No, it's vice versa. Elizabeth, what's her name? Ezerby. Izzerby is right underneath you, and DB Kid is right underneath me. I got a preview of that yesterday.
Okay. Well, good. I'll look forward to seeing that. Okay, Drew, I want to thank you again, and I'll see you next week. So I'm not going to wish you a Merry Christmas yet. Actually,
are you sending a plane ticket?
I'll see you next Monday on your show.
You're gonna send me a plane ticket, and I'm going to fly up there, or you're going to fly down here?
Yeah, I'll just turn on the webcam.
You said C.
How's that? I'm a webcam.
You said C.
I'll turn on the webcam.
Oh, webcam. Oh, well, yeah. You could do that. I forgot we had those.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and tonight's guest, former U.S. Marine, Drew Malone Raines III. I want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting the show, either live or if you have to because of preempted commitments in an archive. Over at BBS Radio, want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound. Don and Doug Newsome for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist, inventor, Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.
Well, partner, we got our pork and beans. We got our coffee.